Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Holy and gracious God, we praise you and thank you for this blessed day and an opportunity to be together, gathered together to worship and praise you. Lord, you have been present with us throughout our week, and no matter where our paths have taken us, whether there were times of joy or times of challenge, you have been there with us, and we praise you and thank you for that. Lord, as we hear the message that is shared today, may we take it into our hearts, and may we not just hear it with our ears, but have it in our heart, and ponder how it addresses each one of us individually. Perhaps it's to touch our lives, perhaps it's to share the news with someone else, but just inspire us to be open to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you watch a video with me, please? Intro for the series that we'll be about in the next 2 weeks that is titled Making Change. And as we launch into this series, I'd like to begin with a question for you to think about. Do your personal finances, do they bring you fear or do they bring you freedom? Personal finances, do they bring you fear or do they bring you freedom? Hope that as we work through this series, whether you are a person who is digging out of debt or planning your future, that you can learn what the scriptures say to us about building a foundation that ensures a brighter tomorrow in a debt-saturated world. Let me say right up front that this is not a stewardship campaign, and this is not a time for an ask for giving for the church. It's a time that we look at how we do manage our finances so that we are not controlled by them. It's about positioning ourselves to not be a slave to money, but to find the freedom that Christ intends for us. And so some may wonder, well, why do we talk about personal budgets in church? What does that have to do with worship? It's actually one of the most important issues that is addressed in Scripture. And that is because God knows what our hearts are like, and God knows the challenges that we have to align our hearts more and more with God. And God knows that a lot of times because of our finances and our possessions that we're most challenged. So yes, it is an important topic to discuss. And so over the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about four different principles that if we shift our lives in this direction, we can know that our lives will change, our kids' lives will change, and our relationship with God will also change. So before I even begin, I want to share with you what those four principles are, and that is less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, and tomorrow matters. So let's start today with that very first principle. It's less is more, and I'd say that's pretty countercultural, because if you're like me, I've been programmed to really believe that more is always better. More reflects positively on us so often. It'll say, you know, we're doing really well. We're pretty successful. And so for my entire life, I always thought that more was better. That if you have one, two is better. If you have $1, two is better. If you have one car, two is better. And so as I go into scriptures and look at what the wisdom in the book of Ecclesiastes shares with us, I reflect on chapter 4, verse 6, which says this: better is a handful with quiet than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after wind. Better is a handful with quiet says to me that, you know, if we don't have too much, if we're not scrambling to get too much, if we're not holding on to too much, that we have a more quiet and more content kind of relationship with God, as opposed to the situation when we have two handfuls, what do two handfuls often mean to us? Isn't it more work to manage all that? And does it lead us into a stressful situation? And it's like chasing after wind. So better is a handful that's quiet, that's manageable, that feels right, than two we're constantly chasing after and working for. So I think that in order to get to the place where we experience and live this scripture, I believe that we could begin by asking ourselves a question. And that question is, what really matters? What really matters? And I think that, you know, when I ask that question, I think, okay, what's your three priorities? What are the most important things in your life? One, two, and three. My guess is that on that list probably isn't getting and having money or getting or having more stuff. That's my guess. And if you struggled with create that list, what you can do, what if you think about this? What if you today were told that you had about 3 months to live? All of a sudden, I'm guessing that there would be real clarity in your mind about what's important and what's not important if you had limited time. Because you would only have that short period of time, what would be most important to you, and that's what you would want to spend your most time with. And I know many people, when you have that list, you say, well, one of my priorities is God, or it's my spiritual life, or our marriage, or kids, or friends, or health. And so once we know what really matters to us, then we can sit and reflect upon our life and wonder, does our life really connect with what we say are our three priorities? So I'd like to suggest that probably in many cases, you're like me, you struggle a little bit to always make sure that everything's in line with those priorities. So I'm going to suggest three things that we would need to do in our lives so that would help us move to the place where we were living out what really matters. And the first thing I'll suggest is that we would need to cut back. And it simply means we need to cut back from accumulating, cut back from always adding more. You know, think about it. I often think about, what if some Martians were up in the sky and watched us moving around? And what if they looked down and looked at us moving around in our closets, and they'd see us have these walk-in closets? And not only would they see walk-in closets, but then they also see walk-around closets, you know, that are big enough that you made 8 laps, you've done a mile. Or there are 2-level closets, and also I've seen where there's 3-level closets where there's actually something that comes down out of the ceiling. And what would they think if they looked at us and saw us in our closets with all of our stuff? And so often occasionally I hear somebody who's looking to purchase an older home, maybe a home that's built in the early 1900s. And the person just comes out and is really, really a little bit perplexed, because where did they keep all their stuff? Right? Because closets weren't like that back then. And then on top of that, if there's not enough space in our closets, well, then we turn to our garage. Now, I have to say our garages, I think we're built for automobiles. I don't know, but I think. But sometimes they become so filled with stuff that not only do we have enough place in there, then we look to our attic and we look to our basement. And then if that's not yet enough, the next place is you rent a storage unit, right? And then you pay somebody else at another place to put your stuff there that you don't use and you don't see and that you probably forget. I'm suggesting cut back, because that helps us lead to less is more. Scripturally, better is one handful with quiet than a bunch of stuff and the toil that goes with it. Jesus taught us this. It's scriptural. He said to one man in at the end of a parable, he says, your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. And I think we know that up here. I think that makes sense, but it comes a little more difficult when we're trying to live that out. So we keep adding and adding and accumulating and accumulating. And I say that we don't need more and more, because less is more. Second way to maybe get at this priority list and live it out properly is we need to clear out. And I know that sometimes clear out strikes a nerve or even hits a heartstring sometimes, because it can hit a nerve perhaps if we're not used to having things. And so we tend to kind of be in a mode where we conserve the things or hold on to the things we have, because, you know, we may not have something one day and we may need that, and that may help us. So we will tend to hold on to that. Or what about, I say it hits a heartstring, sometimes we get into talking about the things that are just sentimental, you know, I got this at this place, or I got this when such and such happened, or so-and-so gave this to me, and so we just tend to accumulate those things, and we find ourselves in a situation of abundance of stuff. That's why I think we can walk into those packed closets and look around and say, I don't have anything to wear. And it's because I think that at that point we're overwhelmed with our choices, because there is so much there and it's so packed that we are just overwhelmed to make a choice of something to wear. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know about you, but if I get my movies on Prime Movie and I scroll through all those movies that are offered, and many times I'm just overwhelmed because I have so many choices. I can't even decide what movie I want to watch. I feel the same way at Cheesecake Factory. I go occasionally with a friend of mine who I met in seminary, and that's where we reconnect. And every time that menu's put in front of me, and that menu is huge, and I know everything at Cheesecake Factory is wonderful, but I'm so overwhelmed that I always get the same barbecue chicken salad because I can't. I'm overwhelmed to look beyond that. So finally, to suggest how to accomplish living less is more is, we finally need to pay off, and we need to pay off debt. And I'll say, what is fun? Fun is being debt-free. And some people may want to say, well, I just don't even know how I can ever get there. And I say to that, start the first steps, and you'll be going toward that. I feel strongly enough about that in a few weeks we'll be offering a course titled Financial Peace University. We have already offered this class 2 times this year. I'm about to offer it a 3rd time, and the information is up there. We'll have a preview on June 18 from 6 to 8, and then the class will actually begin on July 9th. It is a 9-week course that walks step through step through Dave Ramsey's program of addressing these kinds of issues that I talk about today. And he talks about this snowball theory, that, you know, how you begin to, you know, begin that snowball, begin to paying off that debt, and how it just rolls and rolls and gets bigger and bigger so you can get rid of all that debt. And I can't say enough about that process that he proposes in that class. So, and I'm not saying in the midst of this, I'm not saying that we ought not have anything at all. It crosses the line where all that we have, all the junk that we have, owns you, when your debt owns you. And that's when we've crossed the line. And I'm going to say that the richest people in the world are not those who have the most, but those who need the least. And I'll say that again. The richest people in the world are not those who have the most, but those who need the least. And if you think I'm crazy when I say that, let me invite you into this. I'd like to invite you to join an international mission trip sometime that goes to a developing nation, because I promise you, you'll understand that after that trip. And I also promise you, having gone on many of those kinds of trips, that I can tell you what happens in the process and to you in the process of your spending time there. You get there the first couple days, and you're really overwhelmed, because all you look around and say, oh my gosh, they don't have any electricity. Oh my gosh, they have dirt floors. Oh my gosh, they don't have any running water. How do these people live? And this poverty breaks my heart, and this is the worst thing ever. So you spend a few days caught up in that. But eventually, in a couple more days, all that kind of normalizes out a bit, and it's not so shocking. And suddenly you look at the folks living there in that environment, and you see children who have no shoes playing out in the dirt, who really are laughing and having a great time. You see adults who take time to just sit around and just to talk and to visit with one another. And then you go to their worship services, and then you see those Jesus followers who have nothing, but they worship like they have absolutely everything. They have this deep sense and this passion for Jesus, and so they're just, they're like, you know, we've got what we need for this day, and God is providing for us day by day, and so I want to worship my God. And then you find yourself by, you know, the final days, May 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th day, looking around and seeing how content and satisfied those people are, and finding yourself thinking, you know, I'm really kind of jealous. I wish I had simplicity. I wish I had that kind of passion. I wish I was more like them. And I know that they have many different kinds of challenges in their lives, but I think they have something that so many of us don't have. Many of Americans, because the majority are Americans, when we don't live by less is more, making a choice to live by less is more, it creates stress in our lives. And I think we can agree that that kind of stress is bad stress. Financial stress is completely no fun at all. I've never heard a single person say, man, my debt helps me feel so much at peace. I'm so thankful for the high credit rate on credit cards. And I feel so close to God every time I'm paying that interest. I feel so much better, and that debt brings me joy. Instead, what I hear is, man, it makes me feel really stressed out. And I worry about it all the time. And we have fights about money. And this isn't helping us. And I'd give everything to go back and to not end up in the place where I am right now. I've never heard anybody say, ever since I got into debt, my marriage was so much better. Back before we had payments, we fought all the time. But now that we have payments, we never fight because we're in debt. I've never heard anyone say that. I've never heard anybody say, every night when I go to bed, I thank God for my debt. Instead, what I hear is, I wish we could give more to help people who are in need. We're just not able to do that right now. I wish that one of us could stay home with the kids, but that's not even close to being an option. I wish we didn't have the stress we're fighting all the time. I wish we could travel, but that's not even something we can consider. So this stress, this financial situation, creates all kinds of stress in our lives. And so if the practical side of this, of dealing with your money, doesn't motivate you, if you want to look at it from the spiritual side, from what Jesus has to say, Jesus is the one that says, wants you to be faithful with little, and then he will trust you with much more. So I'm going to suggest, as we launch into this new direction, I'm going to suggest three prayers that will help you begin this process. And the first one is, God, give me self-control. And it just comes down to, you got to get that little kid under control, so you got to tell that little kid in you no. And you need to say no a lot. And if you say no for a while, pretty soon, you will be able to say yes. For a little while, you may need to say no to that $5 cup of coffee at that fancy place and say yes to the grocery store coffee for a while. And I need to let you know that it is not child abuse or neglect if you say no to your 12-year-old child that they cannot have an iPhone. You may want a brand new... Oh, that's a good one. Must hit close to home. I was assuming that would hit close to home in this congregation. You may want a brand new car. You like that brand new smell. But you know, you got to say no for a little while. Drive that older one so that eventually you can say yes for the rest of your life. God, give me self-control. Second one, God, give me understanding. And I think the understanding here is, you know, you just basically, there are some things, concepts that you need to understand when we commit to allowing ourselves go into debt. So here's for example, actually, this is from Dave Ramsey's study. Dave Ramsey tells a story about a young man who just got his first job, went out and bought a new truck, was so proud of it. The truck cost $48,000. Question was, are you financing it? Yes, 72 months. What's your rate? 19%. Well, just for learning purposes, and the gentleman said, I can afford that. I can afford that monthly payment with the salary I'm making. Let's look at that a little further than that. So basically, $48,000 at 19% over 72 months comes to just under $81,000 if you pay it off month by month. Then let's say you keep that car and you drive a lot, and after 6 or 7 years, if you decide to sell it, what do you have to sell? Probably $12,000 or $15,000. So let's think about it. We're paying $81,000 for something that's going to someday be worth $12,000. Okay, and it's difficult to understand that. I don't know that we're always taught that, to look that direction when we're making our purchases. Proverbs 22, verse 7 says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender." And that's why we just need to say no, so that we can understand that less is more. Imagine if you want to buy something, what do? Imagine if you pay cash for it. Imagine if someone you know is in need and you're able to say, "I can help, we're able to do this." Imagine if you got a week off on vacation and your biggest problem was where you wanted to go, the mountains or the ocean, because you've got options. You got options. Hosea 4, 6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." We need to know what it means to manage our money. That's why I honestly sit with couples as I do premarital counseling, and we talk through these concepts. So if they're young, they get them, can understand them earlier in their lives. And so another example that we can take away so that we can say we have understanding is, again, from Dave Ramsey. He said, if you owe $16,000 on a credit card and you pay $250 a month at 19% interest, it's going to take you 40 years to pay that off. And by the time you pay it off, you will have paid about $105,000 in interest. Good deal, huh? Okay, let's say you don't have that debt. Instead, you actually have $16,000. You invest that, and I'm just going to, and in there he just says you're going to invest and able to get a 12% on that for 40 years. That money alone invested for the 40 years, you'll end up with $1.5 million. Okay, so let's take that $16,000 again, and you do that car payment that you knew you could afford at $250, apply that continually to that $16,000, and at 12% interest over 40 years, that'll come out to $4 million. God wants us to understand these concepts. And finally, third, pray, "God, give me a plan." Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent surely lead to abundance, but one who is hasty comes only to poverty." Yeah, it does take a diligent plan to find ourselves where God would desire. One thing we need to know is you can wander into debt, but you can never wander out of it. You can stumble into debt, but you're never going to stumble out of it. And you can make mistakes and end up in debt, but there is no mistake getting out of debt. That's why we need a plan, and it is a spiritual issue, and therefore it is an issue that we talk about in worship, because God desires for us to have a plan, because I honestly say that is worship in and of itself. If we sit down and look at our budgets once or twice a month, and we're looking at our budget with these goals, these things directing us, our sitting and the time that we spend looking at our budgets truly is a time of worship. This is a time when we're doing with what God has given us to bring praise and glory to God. So I suggest that whether anyone is young in their career, just starting out, maybe trying to dig yourselves out, maybe dealing with children and all those that time of large expenses, or maybe even trying to figure out how to navigate retirement, I'd like to say for all of us that these principles from this series will help all of us navigate through in a way that I believe that we would really desire to, and I know that it's the way that God desires for us. Less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, and tomorrow matters.